Hey, welcome to day one of this week's teaching. My name's Graham Jones, and it's great to have you here with me. Hey, grab a cup of coffee. I have one right here, a Bible, a notepad, and a pen, and I'm going to continue teaching from my book, The Promise, all about the promises of God and how to live a life filled and based upon the promises of God, how to get God's promises answered each and every day of your life. I think it's a really important and a vital topic. And yeah, it is a life-changing thing. It's probably the passion of my life. Years ago, God called me, as he's called many others, but he called me to teach faith. And that's really what I will be doing today. Hey, two or three quick housekeeping things. If you are new to my ministry, I encourage you to check out my website. Got lots of things going on. We have a YouTube channel with over 1 million subscribers. Why not join that bunch by hitting the subscribe button down there? You can get a copy of this book online at Amazon. I really do encourage you to do that. Should be a link below. But we'll also give you a free copy as a PDF or as a download if you'd like that as well. If that's easier, it'll save money for you. Link below when you sign up for our email newsletter, we'll get you a copy of one of these. And lastly, I want to say a big thank you to all of the partners of my ministry. My ministry is supported by ordinary people, by churches, by businesses, but mainly by just ordinary people who believe in what I'm doing and this message. And I have a great bunch of people who send $5, $10, $20, $50, whatever, a month to my ministry. And why not consider joining that group wherever you're at financially, you know, a dollar a month, and pray for us. And we'd really appreciate you being part of that group. Again, link below to become a partner. Pray about it. Boom. Let's carry on talking about the promises of God. What I want to do today, I want to explore with you the concept of believing in our heart versus believing in our head. And, you know, I've been in ministry nearly 40 years now, I think 39 years to be accurate. And one of the questions that will, like a perennial question, one that will keep coming up, is people will ask, why didn't this happen? Why didn't somebody get healed? Why didn't my prayers get answered? And learning to unanswered prayer, because I don't live with unanswered prayer, but learning to navigate unanswered prayer, learning to know how to respond when prayers don't seem to be answered, is one of the hallmarks of maturity. And I'd love to help you on that journey today. And when somebody comes to me and says, well, hey, I'll give you the example, I was sick and I prayed and why didn't I get healed? And now, again, I don't, without a specific word and a revelation from God, I don't always know the answer. There can usually be many answers. In one of the best books ever written on healing, Christ the Healer, I believe Bosworth, now I haven't read it for years, but I think in the last chapter, Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth, gives about, I can't remember if it's 20 or 40 reasons why people don't receive healing, and it's worth going through those and praying through them. And again, quite often we can go to the Lord. James says when we're in a trial and we don't know what's going on, James says the purpose of the trial is not to confuse you, it's to make you mature, complete, and that you would lack nothing. The purpose of going through a trial is not that you would stay in a trial. The purpose of going through a trial is that you would learn as you went through the trial, and that you come out of the trial a stronger, richer, more matured person. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, he said, I led you into the desert for three reasons: to humble you, to test you or prove you, and to reveal what was in your heart. Now, does God want to humble us? I would actually say no, but I think God wants us to embrace humility. Yeah, the Bible says in the imperative form of the verb, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then in due season, God will raise you up. Does God want you humbled? I actually think God wants you raised up. But what he doesn't want is you to raise yourself up. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when we humble ourselves, in due season, God raises us up. When we exalt ourselves, the Lord will usually cause us to be brought low. Not that he wishes us to be brought low, but he wants our starting point to be, Lord, I can't do this. You are God and I am not. And I come before you in humility. He said, I led you through the test to humble you, to put you to the test, if you will, and then to reveal what was in your heart. Now, help me out here, guys. I think God knew what was in the hearts of the people of Israel before they ever went into the desert. I think the problem is the people of Israel didn't know what was in the hearts of the people of Israel before they went into the desert. And so often, I think God knows the state of my heart at all times. And yet when my faith is tested, I can see the state of my heart. You see, what often happens is we think we believe because we've heard teaching, we've been to a conference, we've read a really great book. Pick it up on Amazon. Come on, we think we believe when we have sort of knowledge and we've given mental assent, mental consent, mental and intellectual acquiescence to a certain truth. It's like we've classified it in the computer of our brain and go, yeah, I believe that doctrine. I believe this. I believe God's the healer. And then we actually find out what we truly believe in our heart when we are tested. And it's really important to realize that. Let me give you four quick keys today. Number one, trials are diagnostic tools. They're not punishment. You know, God never punishes any. In a very, very weird way, this sounds weird and it's counterintuitive and I don't have the time to develop that theme right now. But when God is mad at you, I think God's mad at you. When you're in sin, sometimes God, it's God's goodness. It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. There are times when we are far from God that God will come and break us with kindness. It's His kindness that brings us to repentance. And sometimes when God is really, really happy with you, He'll put you through a trial. You say, Graham, show me that in the Bible. I'm glad you asked, baby doll. Let me say, of the whole of the Bible, like Genesis to Revelation, what is the, name the one moment in biblical history where God was more pleased with a person than any other time in the Bible. I can mention it 100% without question or fail. Yeah? Luke 3, Matthew 4. The Father literally says with an audible voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Was God happy with Jesus right then? And we just said He was, absolutely. What happened 5 minutes later or one verse later? Go to the desert. Trial. Test. Jesus' identity was put to test. The Father said, "You are my Son." 40 days later, Satan's coming. If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. Jesus went through a trial. It says in Luke, He went into the desert full of the Spirit. But He came out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. So we're going to go through trials. Trials are diagnostic experiences where you figure out what's truly going on. Key number two, trials will show us whether we're in presumption or whether we're actually in faith. When we're in presumption, we assume, we presume, we think we have faith, and we actually find out there's something about a trial that doesn't touch your head and your beliefs and your presuppositional, you know, intellectual things you've classified in the computer of your brain. A trial touches your heart. If you stamp on my toe, I'm not going to recite some poetry I've learned in my head. From the abundance of my heart, I'm going to cry, "Ow! Get off! What are you doing?" You know, whatever. Yeah? Trials come to reveal the heart in a way. So it shows whether we're in presumption or faith. Key number three, in a sense, trials are a place of access to God's grace. Yeah? When we are humble, when we realize we actually need the grace of God to come through that trial. In a sense, in a trial, God exposes my faith and shows me where I really am. Yeah? And it's grace through faith that leads us into the promises of God. So when we're in a period of trial, we realize our own inability because God leads us into a circumstance where we have no ability. God took the children of Israel. They thought they were having a hard time as slaves, and He took them into a desert where there was nothing. No money, no stores, no food, no water, no clothes, no protection from the elements, nothing. And for 40 years, God provided them every single thing they needed. The clothes on their back were put there supernaturally. The food, the water, the protection, the protection at night and during the day. Everything came from God. And God wants to bring us into a place of dependency upon Him. Most of us, if we're truly honest, we actually want to, we enjoy living independent from God. We like to kind of do our own thing and then occasionally have God come and pour a little bit of blessing on it. And true faith is about true trust and true dependency. So a trial is a place where we access the grace of God. And lastly, a trial is a place of honesty, because true transformation requires honesty. The first step to seeing anything, is being honest about where we are really at. You know, I have prayed for the sick for 40 years, prayed for thousands, sometimes prayed for thousands of people in one day, honestly. So thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people. And so often people are not honest with themselves about where the faith is at. They will, you know, claim, I've got so much faith and it's not working and things like this. And it's like it's not like they're trying to con me particularly. They're literally trying to con themselves and then trying to con God. Can I tell you this? I've learned this. When we try to con ourselves around our faith, we'll end up trying to con God. And we can con ourselves. You can con some of the people some of the time, but you can never con God. And there's something about a trial where we're honest with our faith. The guy, you know, the first instance we see in the New Testament of unanswered prayer, of the disciples praying, if you will, and not seeing breakthrough, was in Mark 9, where they tried to cast a demon out and it didn't work, quote unquote. And of course, Jesus is annoyed and angry, rightly so, at the disciples. When the Father comes, the guy is really honest. He says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." He's like, I've got faith, but I've got doubt and fear and knowledge and all of these things. I'm caught betwixt two. I'm double-minded. And he's honest with Jesus, and Jesus can work with you when you're honest about where your faith is at. Hey, I'm going to continue tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about that journey of double-mindedness and the journey into single-mindedness. But I encourage you to, if you're going through a trial today, to ask God for wisdom, to not simply react and respond to the trial, but learn to connect with the Lord in the midst of that and see what He is saying and doing in your heart right now. Selah. Thanks for watching, guys. Again, encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter, link below. Hit subscribe, like this video, drop me a comment, and pick up a copy of this book. It will bless you. And I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for watching.